In the early 1970s, Michael Henderson was forming TARU. He put together road professionals, traffic engineers, psychologists, vehicle technologists and medicos in order to bring a scientific approach to road safety.
At that time, there was an explosion of interest. A lot of scientists who had been working around the field came into the field and concentrated on road safety. They could see that this was an area of human endeavour where there was huge, huge gains to be made.
Bruce Dowdell remembers.
It was a very interesting period working with or being associated with Dr. Henderson, who I felt always had a very clear picture of where he wanted to get to and worked from a strong evidence base, investigation. You base your actions upon your findings. And he was also very open to a multidisciplinary approach. So we were dealing with behavioural scientists and a range of different professionals, and he was moving away from the concept that there was right and wrong involved in accidents, that bad people had accidents, good people didn't. It was more a question of designing the road system and the vehicles so that if people did have an accident, they didn't suffer excessively for their human mistakes.
In 1976, Michael Griffiths, equipped with a master's degree in biomedical engineering, became part of the TARU team, spending the next 6 years in crash investigation.
We were 12 people who were hired from outside, so we hadn't been institutionalised in the then Traffic Accident Research Unit or the Department of Motor Transport. And we didn't start at head office, we started at Fairfield. Basically occupied our own space on top of a motor registry at Fairfield. And we weren't that focused on strict letter of the law in terms of all the rules for the organisation. We were more focused on getting the job done. The group became known as the Dirty Dozen because of that. But it was a highly motivated group.
They were the Fairfield in-depth crash studies, and they were a real Rolls-Royce type of study. They had collections of engineers and psychologists and other traffic-type people to go out the scene of crashes, measure, take measurements, record information and so on. That work was invaluable in working out the key mechanisms and the timing sequence of those mechanisms in the crash sequence.
The ambulance would phone us up when they had a crash and we'd head off. But it was learn on the job. So when there was no one in the teams who'd done it before. So a lot of the early months were just really learning how to go about it. But the one thing that was planned was that there would be someone looking at the vehicle contribution, someone looking at the road and the environment contribution, and someone looking at the behavioural contribution. My job was in the area of the vehicles, looking at what the vehicle's role was in terms of its condition that might lead up to the crash, but really subsequently, more importantly, how people got injured inside the vehicles.
Are there any crashes that particularly stand out in your memory?
I remember going to the first fatal and from that learning that we needed to be able to be better emotionally prepared. Then I remember going to another fatal truck crash at Wagga, I think. This was sort of one of those coincidences you'd think couldn't happen, but did. There was one semi-trailer overtaking another northbound semi-trailer and simultaneously coming in the opposite direction, a southbound semi-trailer overtaking another southbound semi-trailer. And they came around the bend and all four trucks had nowhere to go and it was just all up in smoke. We got down there reasonably quickly. The police officer asking if I wanted to go to the autopsy and I didn't. And I felt that that was an inadequacy on my part. So after that, I made contact with the forensic pathology people in Sydney and started to go to post-mortems to be better personally prepared for dealing with that kind of thing. And that led me to, you know, later on got into management, to persuading my staff to do the same thing.